So look, I love the name that I was given. I love that name, and I always will. That being said, there are some parents that totally fail this critical job of naming their children. You know this and I know this. If you watch the news at all, there is on MSNBC, she is a contributor to MSNBC, I think she still is. Her last name is Ball. Do you know what her parents named her? Crystal Ball. How do you expect your child to be taken seriously when you name them Crystal Ball? Then, maybe your child's not going to go into the news industry, but maybe they're going to grow up to be a chef. If they grow up to be a chef, maybe they're going to write a cookbook. If they write a cookbook, Cooking With, the last thing you want to have named your child is poo. Cooking with poo. Who is going to buy that recipe book? I mean, maybe if you're on a budget, that's going to be important. I don't know. Then there's the names that you know you're guaranteeing your child a life of crime, violations of the law. If your last name is Duck and you name your child Donald, you are guaranteeing that he is going to be so mistreated and abused, he's going to turn to a life of crime. Along with this, if you have the last name of Butts, that is fraught with danger right there. There are so many names that you cannot use, one of those being Holden. You do not name your child Holden Butts. Notice that what he was arrested for here is false statements to law enforcement. I guarantee you it was, that's not my name. No, that's not my name. Nope, it isn't it. Some of you who are older, the name Mo used to be very popular. And Mo is a great name for, it's great. Unless your last name is Lester. You do not name your... How do you not know that in the hospital when the nurses gather around, well, look at the little molester right there. Isn't that a cute... That's when the red flags go up and you know you can't do it. Finally, let me give you one more. Most of the time, it's parents. Sometimes it's the child themselves. If you're going to go into education, you got to know you've got to change this name. You cannot have parents receiving a letter in the middle of the summer congratulating them that their child is going to be for the next year in the fifth grade classroom of Mr. Perv. That is not going to work. That right there is when you sign your kid up for homeschooling. Listen, names matter to us. Names are important, right? They carry with them a significant impact on our life. They affect the way we're going to be perceived and the way we're going to be received by other people. They matter to us. Names also matter to God. The third commandment that he gives on Mount Sinai, he carves it into tablets of stone with his own finger. What is that third commandment in Exodus 20? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Says it twice. You are not to take my name in vain. Can I be honest? I don't think we think of the third commandment as important as the other two. We've been going through those, and we've talked about how number one was, I'm the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. And then the second one, you shall not make an image and try to confine my being in that image and worship that image. You can't confine me in an image or a statue or anything like that. Those are foundational. Those are critical monster ones. And you know what this one appears to be? This one appears to be, oh, and watch your mouth. Don't be saying that. That's not good. We kind of see it as less significant and less critical and less important compared to the first two, but God took it seriously. Go back and look at the Levitical law. What was the punishment for violating the third commandment? Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord is to be put to death. That's how serious this command was. The entire assembly must stone them. This isn't just an easy death. The entire assembly will stone them. Whether they're foreign or native born, you come from a different land, it doesn't matter. If you blaspheme the name, you are to be put to death. That's how important this commandment was to God. So I don't think it's one that we should say, well, that one's just watch your mouth. The other two, those are critical. This one isn't as significant. Now, I need to point this out, like I'm doing it every week and it's probably getting annoying to you, but there's a reason that I'm doing this, okay? We are not under the judicial law of Israel as the body politic. That is why we don't stone people for using the Lord's name in vain. That's why. The reason I point this out is because we're dealing with a culture of people who are biblically illiterate. And one of the arguments they make against Christians, oh, you believe in the Bible? Then why is it that you're wearing mixed fibers in your clothes? Well, why are you eating shellfish? And they think they're making a great point. The answer is very obvious, because that was a law code that was given to one nation only. We are not under that. It's not given to the people of the United States. It was given, the law code, the judicial law, the ceremonial law, to the nation of Israel alone. However, the moral law remains. That's what you and I are under, the moral principle. And this commandment shows what matters to God. And if it matters to God, it should matter to those of us who claim to be His followers. Blaspheming God is a severe sin. And I will tell you, I have violated this. I violated this, and I firmly believe there's a lot of you here who have violated it, and you continue to violate it. Maybe not in the sense that you think, and that's why I want to do this. What exactly does... I can't do that. That's going to get me in trouble. What exactly... Lynn's going to lose all control of her bodily functions if I put that water right there. What does it mean to blaspheme the name of God? What does it mean to misuse His name? What is forbidden in this commandment? Some people take it to mean that we just shouldn't use the name at all. I've had a couple Orthodox Jews that have taken my Bible history class at Eastern, and these two girls, whenever they'd answer their questions, they would write the name of God, G-D. They would not spell out the name of God because in their mind it was lacking in reverence to write His name. And for a while, I thought, like 20 minutes, I thought, maybe that's the way to go. Maybe I would be showing more reverence if I refused to use that name. It lasted about 20 minutes and then it dawned on me, well, hold on. God's name is used 7,000 times in the Old Testament alone. There's no reason to avoid using the name of God. It should be on our lips. We should be praising the name of God all the time. The problem isn't using it. The problem is misusing the name of God. So what does it mean to misuse the name of God? Well, he uses this term vain. Don't use my name in vain. Well, what does the word vain mean? Vanity. What does vain mean? It means empty, nothing, worthless. Don't associate the name of God with things that are empty or void or worthless. We're not to do that. Well, what does that look like? Obviously, that's cursing with the name of God. But the Old Testament, this again is why I get really uncomfortable when ministers will say, well, we need to just kind of leave the Old Testament behind and just cling to the New Testament. The Old Testament provides so much clarity as to what this means. What do I mean? In Leviticus 19, do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God, I'm the Lord. If you swear by the name of God a false oath, that's violating the third commandment. It's not just cussing using God's name. This is a violation of the third commandment. In Jeremiah, I've heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. When you make false claims that you say you're speaking on behalf of God, you are violating the third commandment. More on this in just a second. And then, I'd have never thought this was a violation of the third commandment. In Malachi, when you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty. Look, and my name is to be feared among the nations. You know what God's saying here? He's saying, when you cut corners, when you offer polluted offerings, when you have sinful hearts and you are wearing my name, it profanes it to the rest of the world. What are we getting at? When we believers wearing the name of Christ, you know, in the original Hebrew, that word that it's used there, don't use my name in vain, what it really is better translated is, don't carry my name in vain. Don't you wear my name and go out with profane hearts, polluted offerings, and do all of these things, because what you do, people are going to associate with my name. Don't do that. That's a violation of the third commandment. Why is this so important? Go to Exodus 33, and in Exodus 33, Moses is up on Mount Sinai, and he wants to see the glory of God. He is asking to see, God, you've given all these commandments. I want to see your glory. Well, we know you can't see the glory of God, so this is what God does. He takes him, he puts him in the cleft of a rock, and this is what he says to Moses. He says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Turn away, I'll pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. Do you see what's happening right here? We can't see God. Men cannot see. That's why we're not to put an image and say that this is God, because whatever we come up with is going to fall so far short of His majesty and His glory. We don't see Him. John 4:24, He's a spirit. He's the invisible God, and it's not for us to make the invisible visible. How does God proclaim His glory? How does He show His glory? He proclaims His name. You get this, right? The way to see God's glory is to hear His name. That's a New Testament principle. How do people come to Christ? Faith comes by what? Great visual signs? Do we put this majesty up on a screen and everybody sees it? Oh, they come to Christ? No. Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. It's been that way since the Old Testament. This is how God chooses to reveal His glory. When we say it's a powerful name, of course it's a powerful name. Of course it's a wonderful name. It is the name that draws men unto salvation. Do we treat it that way, or do we use it flippantly? Are we violating this third commandment? Our name identifies us. It embodies who we are. What do I mean by that? Those of you who know me well, if you go somewhere and somebody starts calling out the name Peter, they're calling somebody else, if you know me well, I'm going to come to your mind when you hear that name. And everything about me is going to come to... That's why whenever I'm somewhere and somebody says the name Jen or Jenny, I immediately have good thoughts, because I now associate that name with the wonderful woman that I'm married to. And so all of those wonderful thoughts come to my mind. It's the same thing with Addie and Grayson. Bristol, not so much, because nobody names their child Bristol, so I never hear that name. But anyway, that's what happens, right? You associate with the names. Naming our children was difficult for that very reason. Those of you who are in education, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because kids ruin names. I may really like the name Courtney, but after I had that little punk in my class, no way I'm going to name my child that, because I'll forever associate it with that behavior of that particular child. Not that I'm speaking of anyone in particular in this room. But anyway, naming our children was a difficulty because you come to associate that. Names carry with them emotion. They carry with them meaning. They carry with them experience, right? Nobody likes to have their name mocked. None of us do like have it ridiculed, and neither does God. God's name, when we hear it, should carry with it these things, these experiences. And what kind of experiences? What kind of meaning? And what kind of emotion? Those very things we were just singing about in the lead up to communion. Throughout Scripture, His name is used, and it is exalted in every place that you see it. In the Psalms, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. It's full of majesty. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. When you use His name, it should only be in the sense of ascribing it glory, because that's what it deserves. When Jesus is teaching us how to pray, what is the first line of that prayer? Your opening line in the prayer should be acknowledging the glory, the holiness, the hallowed state of the name of God. Is that how we start our prayers? Acknowledging the greatness of God by acknowledging the greatness of His name. In Romans, we're told why. Because whoever calls on the name of God will be saved. What is that name? Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved, except the name of who? The name of Jesus Christ. And Paul writes of that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When you hear, when you speak the name of God, you are acknowledging a name that brings salvation to your soul. Why would you ever allow that to be done in an undignified way? Look, in our house, and this may just be us, there's a lot of bad words that people use, right? And we kind of got this sliding scale. We got the different ones, and the bigger ones are like the big bombs that you don't say. And there are those words, right? The F word, you don't use that for any reason whatsoever. Can I tell you, and then there's these politically incorrect terms that a lot of times refer to people's ethnicity, and those now rank up there just as highly. You just never say those words to anybody about anyone. When we talk about using the name of God, it should be far more significant and far more important than any of these other words. As disgusting and as disgraceful as those may be to use to a believer, the name of God is hallowed. That's what Jesus says. It should be so far separated from anything else. This should be of the highest order, to respect and reverence and fear the name of God. It isn't to be used lightly. So, that being said, how do we obey? there's going to be some of these things that you are violating, because there's some of these things that I'm violating, and we need to get them under control. We need to be on guard against our tendency to use God's name in three ways. You ready for them? Here they come. Way number one, stop associating God's name with things that are false. God's name is not to be tied to things that are false. Now, there's an obvious one right here. You don't commit perjury, right? Because when you swear an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God, if you then lie and commit perjury, you are associating the name of God with something false. That one's obvious. And most of us are never called to testify in a court of law, and so we don't really have to worry about this. But what about this one? You ever gone through something bad in your life? And you've used the phrase, I'm getting to the point now where I can forgive God for this. Or you've heard other people say this. I think I'm to the point now that I'm ready to forgive God for what happened to me. No. What are you doing when you say that? Even if it's used colloquially, or that's a great word, even if you use it just flippantly as a passing phrase, you know what you're doing? You're associating the name of God with something evil or bad that happened to you. God is not responsible for the bad things in your life. And when you say, I'm going to forgive God, that by its very nature is tying the name of God to that evil thing that happened to you. That's false. Don't do it. You violated the third commandment by tying God's name to something. Don't use his name to give false authority to your own opinions. This one destroys me. How? Politics. We do it all the time in politics. I'm going to use myself as an example because why not? You all know this, so it's not like I'm hiding anything from you. I used to do a radio show, and in the early days of that radio show, do you know what my catchphrase was, the slogan I used for this? I'm just going to tell you. I've got the logo right up here. The voice of the Christian conservative right. Now, hold on a second. It's one thing to call yourself the voice of the conservative right. That's pompous and arrogant as it is to say, mine is the voice of all people who have conservative politics. It's arrogant. But that right there, the voice of Christ, I'm expressing the voice of Christ. Now, listen, if I'm quoting scripture, then I have the voice of Christ. Then I have authority to proclaim myself speaking the voice of Jesus. But when I start talking about national defense and climate change and trade policy and guns and jobs and taxes, is that the voice of Jesus? I mean, maybe I'm right about those things. Maybe my ideas on guns are better than your ideas on guns. But that doesn't make them Jesus's ideas on guns, and I'm using the name of Christ to give authority to my own opinions, which may or may not be true. That is a violation of the third commandment. I did a whole thing at one point in time on our firemen and how after 9/11, our city reduced the number of firemen in our fire department. I may, in hindsight, be right about that, but is that the voice of Jesus? Listen, this is what I'm saying. Stop using the name of God. You know how I stopped doing this? There was a girl I was dating at the time, and her mom, wonderful woman of God, she said to me, she said, Peter, I agree with everything that you're saying, but this really makes me uncomfortable. This makes me uncomfortable because I listen, and I hear you kind of snarky and sarcastic and maybe making fun of Jimmy Carter or whoever, and I wonder, is that the voice of Jesus? It kind of was that moment, plus I didn't want to upset the girl's mom that I was dating, and so, we'll drop this slogan and come up with something else. Listen, that's a really important warning that she gave me. We ought to be very cautious when we start throwing around the name of God to justify what we're saying. In fact, there's only one time we should do it, and that's when we're proclaiming the truth that is in His Word, because that's the only word He's spoken to us. Now, there's another way to see that. It's not just politics. I've never done this, but some of you have. Some of you have used the phrase, well, God told me that this is what we should do. I had a kid who came into my classroom, this has been a few years ago, for relationship advice. That can never go wrong. So he comes in, and his problem was his girlfriend that he had been dating went off to church camp. And she got all churchy, and she came back, and she was no longer interested in him, broke it off. And he was distraught. He said, everything was going great. She goes to church camp, she comes home, and she proclaims to me, God told me that we shouldn't be dating anymore. He said, what do I do with that? I said, well, there's nothing you can do. I mean, she's appealed to the highest authority. There's nothing else. I mean, you can make a PowerPoint if you want and go through all of the reasons why this is good. And then we actually came up with a plan. He could call her and say, wait a minute, good news. Just talk to God. He changed his mind. We're back on again. That's really the only thing you can do in that circumstance. But that right there would be a violation of the third commandment. Why? Phil Ryken puts it this way. A more serious way to break the third commandment is by using God's name to advance our own agenda. Some Christians say, the Lord told me to do this. That is false prophecy. It's false prophecy. Why? Because God has already said whatever he needs to say in his word. So unless you're quoting his word, you are proclaiming your own thoughts that you may think God has said. Now, there's also the inward leading of the Holy Spirit, but that's an inward voice. That's an inward voice, and it shouldn't be misrepresented as an authoritative word from God. Maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you need to follow that, but he's speaking to you. He's your inward guide. He isn't telling you to go out and proclaim this new word from God for all of the masses to follow. God's already done that in his word. And when we go out and say, well, God told me to do this, false prophecy. We go back to that verse from Jeremiah where God said, I know what those prophets who are speaking false things are saying in my name. That's us whenever we're proclaiming this. And by the way, that can be a huge danger for church leadership. The elders here at the church, the deacons, the ministerial staff, they need to be on guard against this. Because there's a huge difference between saying, we prayed as the church leadership, God gave us this vision, he opened the door as a sign that he wants this. This is the will of God, so be obedient to him and give. There's a big difference between saying that and saying, we asked God for guidance. We prayed about this. We believe that this is best to honor God. So what we want of you is for you to pray, seek the guidance of God, and if you agree and you feel led, then give. Big difference between the two. Using God's name to give authority to our own desires. Earnestly seeking to use God's name in a way that honors him. Big difference. What I'm getting at is this. Don't slap the name of God on the back of your plans, even if you feel strongly about them. Unless you are quoting the word of God, don't be throwing that name around so loosely. Don't tie his names to things that are false or that could be false. Also this, don't use God's name frivolously. We just talked about how significant and how magnificent this name is. It isn't to be used frivolously. We're told not to use vain repetition in our prayers. Remember when Jesus teaches us how to pray? Do not keep on babbling like the pagans. They think they're going to be heard because of their many words. Jesus is talking about your focus, not your grammar. All right, some people and kids who are learning to pray, they stumble over their words. That isn't the problem here. The problem is that you aren't focused on what you're doing. You're just vainly repeating whatever is in your mind. That is misusing the name of God. Two different ways you can see this. Don't speak and pray empty phrases. If you don't mean it, don't say it. God's name is not a comma. It's not a filler. We've all heard those prayers. And Father God, we just love you and Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit God. And Father, just, you know, be here with the Spirit. I mean, first of all, you're making a mess of the Trinity. And second of all, you're using his name like it's some kind of filler or comma or verbal pause. That isn't the way to use the name of God. And the second thing, don't teach kids mindless use of his name. That really convicts me. Because at the end of a long day, dealing with those punks, and it's bedtime and they're finally down in bed, and I stand in the hallway in my typical position for bedtime prayers, and I start praying, I'm ready to be done. And this is what I catch myself doing. God, thank you for a good day. Help us to sleep good tonight. Help us to be good tomorrow and have a good day. In Jesus' name, amen. And what am I ingraining in the kid's mind? That the name of God can just be thrown out. As long as we're saying it, we're checking off a box. That isn't the way to use the name of God. It is to be reverenced and revered far more than that. Don't use his name cursing and cussing. That's an obvious way. By the way, if you're picking up on the idea that these seem like all of these do's and don'ts, good. They are a bunch of don'ts. Stick with me on that for just a minute, okay? But don't use his name cursing and cussing. In the Old Testament, it was more of a cursing problem. People would curse in the name of God, or they would curse the name of God. We don't really do that much anymore. Maybe somebody does, but ours is more cussing. We use the name of God in the form of a cuss word is what we do. Blasphemy maybe isn't what's going on, but we're using it flippantly. We're hammering something, we hit our finger with the hammer, and we throw out the name of God. Okay, no, we should not be doing that. Why? Avoid using the name of God as an expression of shock and outrage. That isn't the point of the name of God. It needs to be revered more in your heart and in your mind. Be careful with your G's, which is short for Jesus, and your OMG's, which maybe you don't mean God, but it conveys that to the rest. I will never forget. I was in at 318 East Peyton Street, Granny and Grandpa's driveway. I was in high school. I'd heard this phrase all the time. I liked it. I thought it was funny. And Granny was standing on the front porch, and I said as an expression of shock, "Cheese and rice." I had no idea that cheese and rice sounded like Jesus Christ. No idea that that's what that was. My granny heard it. She put one hand on the banister, flipped her whole body over the thing. She looked like she was storming the beaches of Normandy, and she came out, "What did you just say?" I said, "Cheese and rice." She said, "Do you know what that sounds like?" I mean, it mattered to her. It was the name of her Savior. And you don't throw that around flippantly. Be cautious about using the name of God as an expression of shock or outrage. That isn't its point or its purpose. And along with that, don't use God's name in insincerity. When you use the name of God, mean it. Otherwise, don't use it. When you sing "God Bless America," do you really mean it? If not, stop using His name. It's not a filler. It's not a lyric. It's the name of God. If you're wanting God to bless America, by golly, sing it. That's what you should be doing. But don't use it if you don't mean it. You ever said this? I say this a lot. When somebody's an idiot, oh, God love him. If I'm asking God to actually love them, appropriate. If I'm not, and I'm just using this as a form of disdain for another human being, that completely is an inappropriate use of the name of God. God help us. I mean, the whole system's falling apart at home. God help us. If you're asking for God to help you, use it. If you're using it as an expression or a phrase, you are profaning it and misusing the name of God. How about thank God? Oh, thank God for this. Praise the Lord for this. Do you mean it? And sometimes we really do. When we get good news from the doctor, praise the Lord. We are really praising the Lord for the good news, but if that's just an expression that we're using, what are you conveying to the world? You're conveying to the world that the name of God doesn't hold any reverence and respect in your heart. Don't send that message. Think about the songs that we sing. I remember this, and again, my parents may not remember this. When I was a kid, I was obsessed, still am, with Bon Jovi. They are the greatest rock band of all time. You and I know this. The American people know this. But anyway, they had certain songs. There was this one song, "I'll Be There for You." I don't know if you know the song. But in there, John sings out loud and strong, "I'm praying to God to give me one more chance, girl." And that line, shut your mouth. It's a great line. But anyway, that line, whenever it came on, I was not allowed to sing it. I couldn't sing it. Why? Because mom and dad said, "You're not really, really praying to God for Him to give you one more chance with this girl. You don't even like girls right now. What? No, you're not going to sing this." And that was a rule that they set. And it stuck in my head. You don't flippantly use the name of God. So when the name of God appeared in other songs, I didn't sing that then either. And some of my friends thought that was weird. And they said, "It's not like God's name is a bad word. He's God." Right, but to use it flippantly is bad. Don't do that. Listen, I think sometimes we get this backwards. As believers, we encourage the use of God's name in our culture. We even get mad when people don't use the name of God in our culture. We want His name put up in places. We want to see God in our decorations at Christmas time and all of this stuff. We need to see it in the decorations at Target or we're going to be ticked off. We want His name put up places. We want our people, our singers, to use it in their songs. There was a song that came out a few years ago. I think I was in high school. And it was, "What If God Was One of Us?" Do you remember that song, "Just a Slob Like One of Us"? You know how many Christians went crazy? This is a secular song, and it's singing a great message about what if God was one of us. You know, in the song, God was referred to as a woman, right? But oh, all these Christians, oh, this is great, this is wonderful, because the name of God is being mentioned in a secular song. We love that. We get mad at people when they say "bless you" instead of "God bless you," and we correct them at "God bless you." We want them to say that. We want our singers and our actors and our athletes to stand up on stage and credit their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even if that rapper has used the name of Jesus four times in a derogatory and defaming way in the song he's winning the award for, we feel better if he credits his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he stands on the stage and receives his award. We want our politicians to mention him. We want to hear politicians say, "Well, I'm guided in my policies by God Himself. I believe that God is wanting us to do this." We want that. Here's an idea, Christians. Maybe if we want to reverence the name of God, maybe we should concern ourselves more with the proper use of God's name than the common use of God's name. Maybe we should be stressing to the world, we want to see the name of God reverenced properly, rather than just hear you say the name of God? Does that name mean anything to us? This is what drives me. In Ezekiel, this is what God says. Therefore, say to the Israelites, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. Listen, the world is going to profane the name of God. They will have no respect for it, no reverence for it. How terrible if God's people mirror the world in that way. What a great witness. This is the name that we're calling people to accept. We're calling people to, but yet we are treating it in the same profane way as the rest of the world. Listen, the name of Christ is a family name. I don't want my family name dragged through the mud. We should be livid when people take the name of Christianity and tie it to things that are not Christian, because it's a family name and we should bear it with honor. Now go back to what I was saying a second ago. Man, Peter, you're laying out a bunch of don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Remember, God's guardrails are there for our good to keep us free. But if you don't want to see them as a bunch of don'ts, great. In the New Testament, Paul says, take all of those don'ts and we can make it into one giant do. Here's what believers who reverence and love the name of God will respect and know. Right here in his letter to the Colossians. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed. Don't miss that. In word, whatever you say in word, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And for what purpose? You give thanks to God the Father through him. The words of your mouth, the way you use the name of Jesus, your Savior, should be done for the glory of God in everything you say. You want to keep the third commandment? Follow that principle. Father, I thank you for this morning and I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your great name, your name that we call upon to be saved. Forgive us, Father, for the times that we have used it flippantly, that we have used it frivolously, that we have mirrored the world and echoed the world. Father, we don't want to be like the world. We want to be set apart. We want to be different. Father, this is going to take discipline for some of us to re-educate ourselves, to relearn the proper use of your great name, and I pray that we would make that commitment. Father, set us apart. Make us different, that we could draw all men to you. That is our prayer. We ask it in the name above all other names, the name by which we are saved, the name we reverence, the name we adore, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Would you stand with me?